Thank you for that. You know, there's an old saying that goes, you can't do anything but pray until you pray. And I don't know about you, but I feel that way all the time. That I feel so inadequate to, you know, when someone has something wrong with them and then all we can do is pray. There's when you go visit someone, and people tell me this all the time, I don't know what to say. Well, there's nothing you can say. It's just your presence. It's the love of you being there and your presence. So thank you for sharing tonight. Open your Bibles tonight to Deuteronomy. And it's not a PowerPoint tonight, so we're going to have the real Bible. Oh, see, how many, I'm not even going to ask that. Deuteronomy chapter 31. We get in the habit of that overhead and we think, ooh, that's nice. I use my phone more than I do my Bible. I don't know about you, but I have the app on my phone and I use that quite a bit as well. So, what's that? Deuteronomy chapter 31. We're going to talk about some things about how to face the new year. Deuteronomy chapter 31, and let's read in verse 8. It's one of my favorite verses. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Boy, there's a lot of stuff in that verse, isn't there? There's a lot of stuff in verse 8. It is the Lord who goes before you. That's kind of what we talked about a little bit this morning, about nothing crosses your life without crossing the altar of God. The Lord goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed. You know, the great leader Moses in this passage is getting ready to pass off the scene, and he calls the people of Israel together, and he presents Joshua to them, and he tells them, in essence, that God has been with him, and he will also be with Joshua. And that he was saying, people, really, you don't have anything to fear. You don't have anything to be upset of. And I think such advice is sound advice as we enter the year of 2017. God's guidance and God's protection and God's blessing will be no less this year than it has been in the past. It'll be no less. And while we may not know what the future holds, we all know who holds the future, and we know that we're in God's hands. And with this confidence, we can face a new year knowing that our God is our constant companion, that our God is walking alongside of us, and we can truly face the future or face 2017 with this positive outlook. So when you're planning, what am I going to do this year? How am I going to face 2017? Let's look at a couple of things. Turn over in your Bibles with me to Philippians, if you would. Philippians in the first chapter. Philippians chapter 1. And Philippians is... It follows the book of Ephesians, and it's prior to the book of Colossians. Philippians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 6. So how should we face 2017? Verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So read that to yourself just for a moment. Verse 6, chapter 1. My translation says, and I am sure of this. Yours may say, being confident in this very thing. So how to face 2017, I think, first is with confidence. Being sure of this, it says in verse 6, being sure or it may say, being confident of this very thing, which he hath begun a good work in you, you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus is our beacon. Jesus is our lighthouse. Jesus is the signal, and he's the inspiration of all the world. And we with confidence know, because we are saved, that the future is held in his hands. Listen, not mine. And not yours. And how many times do we want to hold it? We try to reach out there and get ahead of God, like we talked about this morning, and we want to dictate. We want to know what's going to happen. We want to see really what's around the corner. And what the Bible teaches is we need not worry, for it's in his hands. God has it. Jesus is known as our bodyguard over in Psalms. Let me tell you the chapter as soon as I find it. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, that's a refrigerator hanger there. Right? He encamps. He surrounds. He is my beacon. He is my bodyguard. Your translation may say, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and he delivered them. I've heard all of my life, my dad used to say, that he is the hedge of protection. He is my hedge of protection. He is the great deliverer. And we can be confident in knowing that Christ is watching over his sheep. He's watching over each and every one of us. But more than that, turn over to chapter 55 in Psalms if you're still there, because we will notice that Jesus is also a burden bearer. Chapter 55, and look at verse 23. 22, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will what? Sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Another refrigerator hanger, right? He will sustain you. Cast your burden upon him, upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He carries our burdens. And we must have the confidence to know that there he is through all of these things that happen in our life. Not just the good days, but he is carrying all the burdens for us. And the Bible says, cast them on him and he shall sustain you. What a powerful verse. Have you cast your burdens upon Jesus? Thrown them upon him? Here they are, Jesus. That's what he's asking us to do. And he's asking us to do that with confidence, Philippians 1:6 says. Have confidence in 2017. Secondly, he's asking us to have commitment. Look at Psalms. Flip over to chapter 37. So he wants us to do face 2017 with confidence and then with commitment. Chapter 37, and look at verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. And he will act. Your translation may say, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall act. So what are you saying we should commit? Well, we should commit our wills. We should commit our desires. We should commit our choices. We should commit our longings. We should commit all of our heart's desires. The Bible teaches that if we commit to the Lord Jesus Christ the desires of our heart, and if we stay faithful, then those desires will come to pass according to his will. Well, you say, Billy, that according to his will deal, that kind of throws it in a loop. According to his will. But listen, if you're not in his will, then it's hard for you to communicate with God. It's impossible almost. That if you're not in the middle of His will, that you can communicate with God. And if you are in His will, then you will know and you will accept that plan, His plan, which you know is perfect for you. But we also should commit some other things. We should commit our work of witness. Our work of witnessing to Him. We should be committed, a committed people in carrying out all the works of the Lord. We should commit our walk with Christ. We should commit, this year, we should commit some sort of spiritual resolution for our family. Commit ourselves, commit our families to try to energize our families. What would you say if I said, the people in God's church, the people that are Christ followers, should commit blank? What would you put in a blank? Don't say everything. We know that. But let's be specific. Because specifics draws us closer to action than generics, right? So somebody give me one. Our thoughts. Yes. Our what?
Future.
Our future. Is that what we said? Yes, okay. Somebody else? One at a time now. Say it again. Our finances. Somebody else? Our time. Our kids. What? Say again.
Our health.
What else? Our family. Yeah.
Our purpose.
Who said that? Oh, we got a sermon coming. Yeah. You hear it all the time, don't you, Jerry? Amen. Amen. What else?
Our free will.
Our free will. Is that what we said? Yes? Okay. Somebody else?
Our church.
Our decisions.
Themselves.
Okay. Yeah. How about this one? This will throw you for a loop. I thought about this yesterday. Should we commit our frustrations? You know, when we talk about committing things, we talk about committing, because I'm the world's worst. Boy, I want to commit my time and effort and energy and desires. But what about my frustrations? What about the things that drag me down? I need to learn to commit those to the wheel, right? Turn those over. Turn them loose. I don't know about you, but there's some people in this world that when something frustrates them, they hang on to it like they're going to choke it to death and they won't let it go. And sometimes we just got to let it go. So as we've named tonight, there are so many things that we have to commit. And so I would encourage you just to pick a couple of those things and write them down somewhere and remind yourself that you're going to commit these things this year. You don't have to tell anybody. It doesn't have to be any grand New Year's resolution. It just has to be something I'm going to work on. And then do it with confidence. So, chasing this new year with confidence and with commitment. Now look at 37 verse 4. Verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I see that word delight, and I think of birthday party. Because that's delightful, some people would say. All right, I see these little kids at a birthday party, and they're so happy. And so, we should face with confidence, with commitment, but we also should be cheerful. It should be exciting. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. And we should be thankful for that, cheerful for what He has done for us. We should praise Him daily for what He's done on the cross. We should praise Him. We should be cheerful that we can celebrate a resurrection. We should be cheerful and praise Him daily for involving Himself, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in my life. I mean, we're talking about the Creator of all there is, and He wants to be involved with a dummy like me? Whoa! And I should be cheerful about that? Absolutely. Shouldn't I be happy about that? That guy came to this earth and He hung on that cross and He resurrected so that I could live with Him for eternity. He did that for me. And I walk around here like I've lost my last dollar. So we should approach it with cheer. It should be a delight. It should be a party. It should be happy. He's busy preparing this beautiful place for me. He's preparing my heart. He is preparing us for the blessing that we will receive today. He's preparing us for the blessing that He's already signed off on for me to get tomorrow. And we walk around here with no smile on our face. And we serve this God that's going to bless me. And He's going to bless me when I don't deserve it. And He doesn't care what my IQ is, praise the Lord. He doesn't care how much money I make. He doesn't care if I live on this side of town or the other side of town. He doesn't care if I'm in this church. He just wants to bless me. And I'm not happy about that. I ought to approach that with cheerfulness, with happy. It ought to be delight yourself in the Lord so He can give you the desires of your heart. Why should He even have to command us to do that? We also should be cheerful because of what He's going to do. Man, I know what He's done. And that's what excites me about what He's going to do. I've seen Him work in so many people's lives. So many people. Mine included. Our family. I've seen Him work in my daughter and my son's life. Just unbelievable. You've seen the same thing. You've seen Him work in people's lives. But to be excited, be cheerful about what's coming. Because listen, newsflash, it's going to be good. Whatever that is. But He continues to bless us in so many ways. And He's planning our future inside of His will. He's looking forward to the next encounter with you. You know, I think God gets excited when you break down on your knees and you say, "My Heavenly Father." And you're communicating with Him. Don't you think He likes to do that? Sure. And we just try to stick in a 30-second prayer before we eat our lasagna just to say that we've prayed today. We don't have time to even communicate with the Heavenly Father, the King of all kings, man. We ought to be cheerful in doing that. That ought to be on your planner. That ought to be in your phone, on your calendar. That shouldn't be an afterthought, but so many times it is. We get busy. But we should be cheerful in looking forward to that next encounter with God, that prayer time. That's just me and Him. Do you know He can't wait to hear you sing praises to Him? He can't wait for you to say something that honors Him. He can't wait for us to do something tonight that's all about Him and it's honor and praise to Him. He's waiting for that. He's waiting for you to worship Him, to sing to Him, to praise Him. Man, we have so much to be cheerful about. And what He's telling us is, in 2017, be cheerful. Remember who you're serving. Remember where you're going. And remember who's in charge. Turn back over to Philippians, and we'll hit our fourth one tonight. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 20. Philippians 1 and 20, and as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but with full courage, now always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or whether by death. So we're going to do this deal with confidence. We're going to do it with commitment. We're going to do it in a cheerful manner. And then we're going to do it with courage. We're going to do it with courage. And my hope is that nothing I shall be ashamed, that with all boldness as always, so now in Christ should be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. What does that mean? That means we're going to have the courage to stand up straight in our bodies, to roll our shoulders back, and to stand for our faith. To stand for who we are so that our audio matches our video. To stand up. Do you have the courage to stand up for what you believe? I know you do, because I've heard some of you talk about Trump and Hillary. So we have the courage to stand up and say, I don't like them or like them, or what are we doing? Right? So surely we have the courage to stand up that something so much more significant than that. It's our Heavenly Father. It's our Christ. I hear you tonight. I've heard them this morning. I asked Karen this morning who was playing in the Super Bowl, and she got one team right, which I thought was pretty impressive, really. And I didn't even know the Super Bowl was today. That's how far behind I am. I apologize for that. Ma'am? I'm telling the truth. And I really didn't. I had no idea. I guess I knew it, but it didn't dawn on me. How's that? It didn't dawn on me that that it was today. And I have no idea why I went that direction. So... But do we have the courage to stand up for what we believe? Oh, I know why. Because I heard this morning some people talking about, you know, they're talking about Tom Brady and the Patriots, and they're talking about, so we have the courage to stand up and say, yeah, I don't like Tom Brady. I don't like him, or whatever. Should we not have the courage to stand up for Christ? Isn't that far more the importance? To never be ashamed of who it is we serve. Never be ashamed of the risen Savior. Never be ashamed to share the Word of God. To never be ashamed to open up and to share the gospel. You see, witnessing is not something we just throw at people. Witnessing is not something that has to be very uncomfortable. Witnessing is simply sharing what you believe. Just like what you share about Tom Brady or Trump. Witnessing is simply saying, I love Jesus. He's the Lord of my life. If you don't know who that is, I'd love to share with you. What's wrong with that witness? Our witnessing is, when you hear something going on in somebody's life, is simply saying, I would love to pray for you or with you about that. And you know what they always say? What do they always say? Thank you. I would appreciate that. And don't waste the opportunity. Do it right then. Grab them by the hand and pray right then. Don't write it down. You won't do it. You'll forget. So that's a witnessing opportunity. Just let's pray right now. Hey, would you let me pray for you right now? What an awesome witnessing opportunity. But we have somewhere in our mind things that witness means I need to know every scripture in the Bible and I need to be able to recite it. And that's not what it is. It's just simply saying, sharing what I believe. You can't make them believe it, but that's not your duty. You can't make them want it. You can't even make them take it, but you can share it. You know, when I come in here and I tell you, when you say, boy, that's a good looking sweater, I say, yeah, I got this down at Fred's. Well, all of y'all don't run down to Fred's to buy a sweater just because I said, do you? No. Or you see somebody with a new car out here, and you say, well, boy, what kind of car you got? And they're talking about it. Well, all of you don't run down to Cockwell's and go buy you a new one. So just because I share it doesn't mean you're going to go do it, right? Same with Jesus. My job's to share it. It's Jesus' job to do the rest, right? We just try to catch a few fish, but God cleans them. That's His job. That's not our job. So what we're trying to do is just share it. Just share our beliefs. We share it, and we let the Lord do His work. And we don't like something, we usually, if I go down here to this restaurant and I don't like it, I see it in the car. I say, oh, Karen, we ain't not going back there. Right? Now, you're laughing. You do the same thing. You probably don't wait till you get in the car. And sometimes we won't tell anybody. And then sometimes we say, but how in the world can we be quiet about Jesus? But we are, aren't we? We have to be the quietest group of people about Christ in our everyday life for whatever reason. He's the one thing that we should be telling about and sharing about and letting everyone know about. And we should have that courage. We should have the courage to live this separated life. We should have the courage to live different, apart from the world, because we are different. Why are we different? Because we're followers of Jesus Christ. We're worshiping a risen Savior for all the days that we're on this earth, not just when we are here, but we must have the courage to separate ourselves out of this church in the world, to express ourselves when people understand to whom we believe and whom we are persuaded. People know where we stand. And then we should have courage to finish the race. In other words, here's what that means. And people talk about finishing the race all the time. Here's what I think it is. Very simple. We know that God's in control. We know that God's in control. You see, this spiritual maturity thing, it brings life into a whole new perspective. Christian living is a marathon, it's not a sprint. It takes a while. And as we mature in that faith, in that spiritual maturity, those little things that simply are a little thing, that's what they are. That was that book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small. There's a lot of truth to that. But we're to stay strong in the Lord. Stay strong this year in prayer. Stay strong in your quiet time. Stay strong in your time with Him. And we would have then the courage to finish the race. Because the book's already finished. And we know who wins. God is in control. So as you walk out and you face this new year, we're going to have some resiliency about us. But we'll understand that God's in control. And may each of us continue to look to Him for help and for strength we need to get out of the bed every day, for the strength we need during those frustrating times and those frustrating people that enter into the realm of our lives. And may each of us face this new year with confidence and commitment and cheerfulness and courage. And then we would have a 2017 year that we can truly say that we did everything we could do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in all that we do, in all that we say, in all that we give, and everything is to honor our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for tonight. Thank You, Father, for those here tonight. God, I pray a special blessing, a special prayer under every name that was mentioned here as a prayer request to You tonight. Father, I pray that we would face this year with confidence and commitment. Father, that we would be truly excited and cheerful about who You are and what You are going to do in the lives of our family and our church. And Father, that we would stand up with courage and say that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Thank You for this time together. Lord, as we part ways, take us safely to where we're going and bring us all safe back again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.